I think in this environment, speed is really important. I think from a consumer level, you want the most frictionless experience that you can possibly have. And if you think about the whole lead generation we're talking about there, if a customer is coming in and they've decided that they're going to take the effort to go online, check you out, call, take action on their to-do list, we want it to be so simple.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining Students of Storage here with me today. I've got Michael Brevda, my co-host, and as a guest, we've got Mark Poole of Liberty Investment Properties.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
So my name is Mark Poole at Liberty Investment Properties here in Orlando. We've been in the business for about 35 years, and I've been with the company for about 13 years. We've done everything from development to operations to third-party management, consulting, a little bit of everything. So right now we are looking for growth and we're excited about what's ahead of us.
Can't wait to dive in. Mark, we've known each other now going on about 2 years. It's been awesome getting to know you. Really interesting background across the SSA. You've been with Liberty for about 13 years now. Tell me a little bit more about your time at Liberty and what brought you there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, lucky. I was very lucky. I was in the car business for about 7 years. And was going to Florida State and had to get a summer job. And it all started off there and worked my way through the car business. And it was really fun and I learned a ton, but I was tired of the hours and I didn't mind working hard, but I didn't want to work on that schedule. So ended up reaching out to contacts in Orlando and I had heard about Michelson family and a little bit about Liberty, but I really didn't know what they were doing and what they're up to. And a few conversations later, I was very fortunate to join the team. When I joined the team, we had about 9 storage facilities and I jumped right in. I was asking a ton of questions and I was trying to figure out what the business was about. I was obviously very new to it. And that questioning has really never stopped. I think there's always been an opportunity to figure out more, to figure out better ways to do things, whether it's with our own internal team or our own company, where we're constantly asking ourselves, are we doing the best thing here? Are we the best operator? Are we the best developer for this? All sorts of things. To working with others outside the or inside the industry and questioning with working with it. Hey, how are you guys doing things? And what helps you stand apart? And what tools are you using? And so I've always been very curious, but Liberty afforded me an opportunity to get in, ask a ton of questions. We've done some really incredible things. So again, I've been here for about 13 years, but Liberty's been doing self-storage and hospitality for just over 35 years. So it's been a really amazing group and I'm excited for what's ahead.
That's awesome. I mean, Adam Michelson is a well-known name amongst the industry. Like, what would you say is your favorite part of having a chance to like work with him and what's been your biggest takeaway?
Yeah, well, it's a multi-generational business. So his father was in the self-storage business. And so the Michelson name definitely flows through. I'm very familiar with a lot of folks in the industry. I would say it comes down to just relationships. We like to say, you know, we're building relational capital. And that's our way of saying we like to have a lot of friends in the industry and some enemies or some frenemies or whatever it might be. But we really have just poured our hearts and soul into the industry, giving back on that side and just kind of painting a destiny of like, where do we want to grow and how can we develop that? So we have kept a lot of relationships close and we've developed a ton of relationships, but building relational capital has really been one of the go-to things. I mean, it's always going to help you. And in this industry, it's really a unique setting. We like to say co-opetition is our fancy word of saying cooperation with our competition, right? And so we have a lot of co-opetition with folks in the industry. And so just giving back and working with them and asking questions and learning from each other really helps rise all ships.
Totally. Yeah. Is there an example of maybe one of those relationships that has stuck with you from kind of the onset, what, 13 years ago?
I'd say 2 weeks in, I was kind of taken by Adam Michelson and he's like, hey, let's go talk to this operator. And I was 2 weeks in and I was so confused. Because it was a local operator in the storage facility. And I was like, this is the enemy. Why are we talking to the enemy? Well, it turns out it was Simply Self-Storage. And they're based out of Orlando. And they've obviously sold since then. I met a gentleman named Kerry. And he was very open. And we started chatting. And I was like, golly, why is he telling me so much stuff about the industry? And he's helping me. And again, it was only 2 weeks in. And that's really stuck with me. So today, Kerry is an incredible friend. He's part of a lot of other groups that I spend time with. Communicating, he's always been super valuable and just having great conversations. And so that really is really what tipped me off to the, hey, this is an industry where you can learn from others and you can really, if you spend time and you focus on this and you grow it with a good intention, then it is only going to help serve you in the long run. So I've been very fortunate to have some incredible friendships for over a decade. And to this day, it still comes in super, super handy. And it's just really incredible to have that. So that whole relational capital thing that kind of started with the Michelson family kind of saying, hey, we're going to be in this for the long run, has really stuck with me. And it's been very impactful for sure in my career.
Awesome. I've met so many amazing people, yourself included, over the past 2 years. So I appreciate that story. Always interested in hearing more. Yeah, I think one thing that I'm curious on with regards to folks who are looking to grow a portfolio. I mean, you mentioned when you came on board, you had about 9, you scaled up to, what was it, 30 plus at one point in time, and then rinsed and repeat. What's some advice that you can give in the current environment? And I guess we've kind of touched upon this before, but is there anything that you would kind of lean into? I mean, you've already shared that you're looking at like the development side, you're looking at more remote properties. Is there anything that maybe has given you reason in your particular market to avoid going through and doing an acquisition and leaning into the development side? Just curious if there's thoughts around.
Yeah, so I would say for folks that are getting in the industry or trying to grow in the industry, again, it goes back to pointing back to that relational capital. Meet as many people as you can, whether it's vendors, whether it's owners, whether it's operators, managers. The more touch points you have with folks in different areas, and especially in areas that you're not very familiar with, you'll be really impressed with how often and how much folks will share with you. So I would say, again, if you're not doing that, get to some of the shows, get to some of the networking events with a goal of trying to meet as many people as you can, and then find areas online and ways to tune in to connect with people directly. LinkedIn has been a phenomenal way of reaching folks and touching base with people as well. So,
Liberty has a super interesting kind of background and story. I would love to hear a little bit more about that, how it came to be and how they got into self-storage.
Yeah, absolutely. So Liberty is a really unique setting. It's kind of a family office and family business. And so really our founders, Mike and Melissa Michelson, were the ones who started everything back in about 1990. And so they acquired their first or developed maybe their first self-storage facility. It was before my time here in Orlando, but began to catch great things with that and started to grow that and ended up getting connected with a group called Shurgard Self-Storage. So if you are in Florida and you are driving around Orlando area and you see a bunch of lighthouses in front of a self-storage facility, that is now Public Storage Colors, but those used to be Shurgard self-storage facilities. And so many of those with a lighthouse were developed by our group here in Orlando. As I drive by those, I'm reminded of that. We've got a really rich history, and we ended up building, I think, about 42 different locations with Shurgard before there was a change in that whole thing. And so we developed a brand called My Neighborhood Storage Center with a focus on being hyper-local. And so today we still operate that brand. That was about 2005 or 2006 when we first started that. So today, the My Neighborhood Storage Center facilities, we only have 3. We've got another big handful, approximately 9, with a group called Stories, which we're running those virtually. And so that's a pretty unique setup as well. And then today we also have a couple with a REIT as well. So that's another big thing for us that's changed.
That's awesome. I really appreciate you giving us a background there. I know one topic that's on a lot of folks' minds is lead conversion. Obviously, driving traffic is super important to your website, but I know that you've done a couple of unique things with regards to improving conversion, making sure you're capitalizing on the traffic that is coming there.
That's right. Well, activity is extremely important. That's one of the big things that I'm looking at daily from a portfolio management. We're trying to track the activity. We put a lot of effort into our lease-up properties, and we do have a lot of lease-up properties at this moment. So really paying attention to that is important. The industry has shifted quite a bit, as I kind of alluded to with 2020 highs and how COVID really accelerated and improved our business in a lot of ways. It also created efficiencies, but maybe not the best. Like some efficiencies like, hey, let's just eliminate all managers. Maybe that's not the way, right? There's certain ways that you can be strategic about it. But I would also say in today's world, pricing has come down. It's been challenging. It's been a bit of an environment where it used to be like, hey, we want the right customer at the right time at the right price. And now it's kind of like, we just need customers. And so there's this challenge of that, right? And you'll hear a lot of folks talking about, are we at the bottom on pricing? And so there's a lot of things you can do, but the whole lead conversion thing, and we talked about this with Matt Ingford in the show, was talking about the value of these leads. And I think people fail to realize that this business that we're in is a subscription model. It's just like Netflix. It's a month to month, right? And so you can cancel anytime. The challenge in storage is it's just harder to get your stuff out of a 10 by 20, right? Yeah. So this month to month lease is highly valuable. If that's $150 or $200 unit, well, they're staying with you for 12 to 18 months or somewhere in there. And so when we have a lead come our way, it is critical for our business. And I think in the past, we've gotten a little bit relaxed on that. We weren't getting name and number. We weren't capturing every lead like our life depended on it. And that's really the mindset now. So I would say in this environment where we're seeing prices going down and we're seeing maybe they're still starting to come back up, hopefully they're for this season, but we're seeing pricing come down. We're seeing increased effort in marketing. We're still seeing some supply that's kind of like moved into markets. You just have to really make sure that you're following up with every single lead and making sure that you're capturing it. So again, whether it's pre-leasing, creating that excitement and sharing that with your team as well. That's another thing that we talked about with sharing the value of these leads. And again, customer comes in, even if they rent a 5x5 unit for a cheap rate, well, that's still highly valuable. They could stay 3 years. And by the way, it's a very high rate per square foot value too, right? So there's just some things to think about, and sharing that with your team is really effective and helpful.
Awesome. Appreciate that. Is there anything that you watch out for, like, or like metrics that you set with regards to how quickly you want somebody to respond? I mean, obviously, like, are you monitoring if it's under 5 minutes? Do you notice a difference? If it goes over 10, what the drop-off rate is?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Cubby's done an amazing job of that for us, right? Creating an opportunity where we capture that lead and get in touch with that lead as quickly as we can. So as soon as we can get it in, there's ways that we can kind of highlight that and bring it to our team's attention. So that's been an area that we've been working on because it is speed. I think speed is relevant in all the things that we do. I mean, we want fast lease up. We want fast route response to customers. So speed is really important to our organization. The other thing I would say in kind of relation to things to watch out for is stalling. You certainly don't want a lead stalling and sitting there for 3 days. They're going to make a decision without you, right? They're going to go ahead and make a decision if they don't hear from you. But from a performance standpoint and from an operating perspective, we also don't want stalls there. We don't want to be stuck at 70% occupancy. We don't want to see 10 by 10s with 14 vacant and just stay that way. Like, you've got to see some traction. So we use reports like a move in, move out report as kind of a traction report. Here's what's happening. Here's where the leads are coming in. Here's how occupancy is growing. And then being aware of stalls. If you see any stalls in our business, that's an area where you need to take action.
Switching gears to something a little adjacent, lead conversion is important, but lead generation is, of course, always important as well. There's lots of talk around SEO and PPC and other digital advertising forums. Would love to hear from you if there's any creative ads and or like lead gen tactics that have worked well for you, either digitally, or I've heard some pretty creative stories from other operators of like physical campaigns, flyers, billboard, etc. Just would love to hear your thoughts on like how you're going about generating more leads versus just taking what's coming to you and pouncing on those.
Yeah. You know, marketing in self-storage is very difficult. I think I used to come to the table with a ton of marketing ideas and excitement around it. But the more I've thought about it and the more I've dug into it and the more that I've poured into it, I realize it's very hard. It's not like a cool pair of sunglasses. I can convince you that this is a cool new thing and it's a great deal. It's a needs-based business. I've sat in many rooms where I've said, hey, how many of you need self-storage right now? And very few raise their hand. How many of you have storage units? Very few raise their hand. So even if I gave away a storage unit to someone, if I gave you guys one, it's like, well, number one, it's not near you. If it was, you'd be renting, but it's not near you. And then also, do you need it, right? So I think about the marketing in a pretty specific pattern. I think about it as, number one, it's a need, right? And then I would say, number two, it's location. I would guess that many Americans are inherently lazy and you want the closest thing that's on the way to work or on the way to your home. So it's need, it's location, it's features and benefits. Well, guess what? My 10 by 10 is probably the same as your 10 by 10. And there's not much more that I've got than you do. Maybe some covered loading areas and things like that that might make it helpful. So it's a need, it's location, it's features and benefits. And then it's price, because I would say that people are going to say, okay, well, that's a movement, right? That would get my attention if it's 20% discount. And then it's finally customer service. Because customer service really is one of the last touch points in this industry. And again, that goes back to getting away with certain things. I would imagine that a lot of folks have said, well, hey, we don't really need staff. We can do everything from our phone. Well, yes, maybe there's areas that you can do that, but as long as you're not giving up on the customer service side and you're not messing that up, then that'll be okay. So when it comes to marketing, we try to think through everything through that lens, right? And so there's no reason for me to be doing targeted ads for all of Florida. Absolutely not. But if I've got a downtown Orlando location, then I want to know that area, 3 mile ring. I want to know who are the realtors, where are the apartments, where are the moving companies in that area? What's going to be driving business to me, right? And so, you know, we kind of say things like we like to target the neighborhoods, not the nation. If you look at the REITs and how they ran it, they're looking at a large scale growth operation and they're trying to maximize the brand value. Truth is, there's value in that, but there's also a lot of people that are not loyal to storage brands. I mean, I kind of look at it as like car rentals. I don't care what I get as far as the car rental. I don't care what company it is. I just want the one that's going to be the most effective and price convenient for me. So I think some people look at the industry as a commodity, some don't. I think that's a big argument both ways. But at the end of the day, you really just got to maximize your visibility in your hyper local market. That's the area that we try to spend our time in.
And talk to us more about how you're tracking and optimizing for lead source, meaning how are you telling what ad campaigns are working or not working so well? And when you figure that out, how are you adjusting accordingly?
Yeah, that's another challenging one. A lot of times marketing has been hinged on the manager and what the manager has said, because that's the only input that we've gotten. So back in the old days with our previous software, it would say, here's your marketing report. And it would tell you some of the basic stuff. And like location was like, okay, that's pretty good. You can see where they live or where they're coming from. But then it would get down to gender and it would say male, female, unknown. And 23% of our customers were unknown gender. And I'm like, well, this marketing report is thrown out the window. How do I know that our managers weren't just pencil whipping that and saying, oh, it was a drive-by or, oh, they saw it on Facebook or whatever. So it's hard. And so what are the things that you can actually do today, right, from a marketing perspective? And what are the cost-effective ways? I mean, I would say, you know, referral program is one that keeps coming back and top of mind. I mean, we've probably done the best on just a local, hyper-local referral program. And really, Amazon has made that easier for us. I mean, we can text an Amazon gift card in 2 seconds, right? And even as little as $25 seems to be better than a $50 rent credit or some sort of gift card that might be in the mail. Instant gratification at a low rate for a quick thank you has been phenomenal. So we've spent a little extra time going to these apartments around our areas and trying to befriend some of the leasing agents and say, hey, you walk in with a couple cards and you're like, hey, I've got this facility and we did a terrible job introducing ourselves to you. We're trying to ramp this up and we'd love to partner with you. And if you can send leads to us, put your name, phone number on the back of this or an email, we'll text you an Amazon gift card, $50 to those guys, right? Or gals. And that's been huge. I mean, like we see enough of them come through that it's very effective. So just again, going back to relational capital, right? Whether it's in the industry or it's leasing agents that are out there trying to help you in your little neighborhoods, those are all things that come back and help you.
Yeah, super smart. My background before storage was in more of the residential side. So I always love talking about that side of it as well. Yeah. Whether it comes to technology or lead gen techniques, I think there's a lot of things to be learned from adjacent industries to self-storage that might do certain things better than we do it at this juncture. So
yeah, absolutely.
Mark, one question that I'm always kind of curious to hear is, what do you feel that self-storage, it could be tech, it could be resources that are available to you, is still missing to this day that maybe has been applicable in other industries that you'd like to see or like can't believe isn't there?
I mean, we've made so many improvements, honestly, that a lot of the low-hanging fruit has been picked up again. So the leasing process, and going back to my car rental example, I mean, I was traveling again, could have been when I first started, and pretty quickly can get a rental car. It's really amazing that you check in, check out, they hand you a really expensive vehicle and you take it, right? And it was fast, and it was faster than it took to rent a storage unit. And I just thought, that's insane, right? Wawa is another example. It's like, you go up to the place, you quickly put in your order, boom, it's ready to go. It was so fast. So again, I think in this environment, speed is really important. I think from a consumer level, you want the most frictionless experience that you can possibly have. And if you think about the whole lead generation we're talking about there, if a customer is coming in and they've decided that they're going to take the effort to go online, check you out, call, take action on their to-do list, we want it to be so simple. I mean, how many times have you paid a little bit more on Amazon because you don't have to worry about it, right? I do it all the time, unfortunately. I'm like, oh, it's just easier literally if I get an Amazon. I know it's going to be more expensive, but I'm going to do it. And again, it's just because of speed and it's the ease of that and the frictionless process of that. So I'm impressed with the way that we've gone. I think, again, like pointing back to software and like what Cubby's been doing is ease of use and speed and efficiency. Those areas have really helped shape the part of our businesses that we're lacking. But I mean, those are areas for sure, I think, that have really helped the speed of that. When I think about other things in the industry, I mean, obviously we were early adopters of tenant insurance. That was another big area where a decade ago we were like, hey, let's go ahead and get insurance. And I was so new at the time. I was like, sounds great. Let's make it mandatory. I was saying the word mandatory and I realized that's not the right word. It should be requirement of the lease. It sounds a whole lot better. And fortunately, we started that a decade ago because even just this last Saturday, I got a phone call that we had ankle deep water in one of our climate control buildings. And so from a sprinkler malfunction. So there's just some things like that. We've had two fires at our properties, which have been pretty painful. So having good tenant insurance set up and having that available, taking initiative to get that set up. Luckily, in that scenario, we had 88% tenant insurance penetration. And so we were saved from that. And again, it just goes back to like doing the right things and trying to strategically think about your business to excel your business in the front end, but also protect it in the back end. So again, going back to that original question, Michael, I think we've done a good job of seeing some of those areas improve. Revenue management systems, our softwares have all improved. Speed has been a priority. So, I mean, I definitely think probably some camera and access stuff, I think, is probably the future. I'm really encouraged about the new security cameras that are out there where I just kind of tell my kids nowadays, I'm like, assume you're on camera everywhere you go, right? Like that's going to be the future. So when you're at a facility, just assume you're on camera. And I hope that's the case because we can protect our business with that. We can manage it a little bit better from afar if we need to. So just some things like that are really interesting, but I'm excited. I mean, about the future, I think it's a simple business that we've overcomplicated in a lot of ways, but at the end of the day, there's still a lot of opportunities for vendors of all sorts to improve our business.
Great answer.
Awesome. Thanks again for the time today, Mark.
Thank you for listening to Students of Storage. Links to any resources mentioned in the episode can be found in the show notes. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star review and don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.